favorite mayor is with us this morning.
Does Luke Bronin know that?
Huh?
Does Luke Bronin know that, that you just said that?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't think he's listening this morning. But she has always been. I just have a special place for Erin Stewart. She's done a great, great job in New Britain, and I think she'll be governor someday. How do you like that?
Wow. And she's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Mayor Stewart. Good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been in this chair a lot lately, haven't I?
Hey, you fit it well, too.
Why, thank you.
Well, there's a big event taking place a week from today, Mayor, and it's the ribbon-cutting ceremony officially opening the Raphael Building Apartments in downtown. How about talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So next week, we are so excited to welcome the opening of the Raphael Building once again. So this is an old historic New Britain building. If you remember old New Britain and walking the streets of old New Britain, you absolutely remember the Raphael Building. It was a beautiful, beautiful building. This building has been fully rehabbed to all of its historic components. So a full historic rehab. It was taken advantage of by a state tax credit program that supports historic rehabs, and it's been transformed into what we like to call a transit-oriented development project, TOD, buzzword. That buzzword with the CT Fast Track because it's within walking distance. So we're anticipating that 24 people will occupy the apartments. It was funded by many different grants, but the majority of the project is privately financed by a group called JASCO. So we're so excited to welcome another and the first. This is the first completed housing development in downtown New Britain because of CT Fast Track.
Well, and we all know, Mayor, that the CT Fast Track project was a controversial project, but it was pushed along the lines that it might spark this kind of private development, and apparently here's evidence that it has.
Yes, it certainly has. I totally understand the controversy that surrounded it. We all get that, the magic busway, I know. But when I took office in November of 2013, it was my job to make the fast track work and make sure that it worked for my community. And that meant trying to find public or private financing opportunities to renovate some of our downtown buildings. So there's 10 one-bedroom apartments in the building and 6 two-bedroom apartments. The one-bedroom start for rent. They're going to start at just under $1,100 a month, and the two bedrooms will start at $1,375 a month. So it's a pretty good price, too.
You know, how long did it take you to get this whole project going?
Well, let's put it this way. The owners, JASCO Development, applied for their first grant for this in December of 2013.
Wow.
So I guess that puts into perspective how long projects like this take. It's about $1 million project. But when you have to creatively finance, it certainly is more complicated. We've got the second housing project on the horizon too, which we're just about ready to break ground on, and that's Columbus Commons. Now that's 158 housing units, and that project started quite a few years ago as well.
Mayor, let me ask you this. Does this happen without CT Fast Track in downtown New Britain?
No. And I will admit that no, it does not, because that is our connector. That is the public transit is a huge piece of these projects. The people that we see and the millennials that we see wanting to move into downtown areas are not looking to have cars.
They want access.
They want access to public transportation. This is what they're looking for. And if you're employed in the greater Hartford area and you live in downtown New Britain, you're only a stone's throw away from the fast track hub and even less than 20 minutes away from downtown.
You know, Mayor, one of the things, too, that you just hit on about cars, the same thing's happening in the city of Hartford, too. A lot of young folks coming in, young couples, and they don't want cars either.
It's true. They want to rely on public transportation.
Yep.
And we have a lot of people in the city of New Britain that only use public transportation. So we have to make sure that we're building up our areas around those hubs in order to make them thrive.
You know, Mayor, one of the arguments I hear, and we're still trying to get figures on this, is that not enough people are riding CT Fast Track. I mean, do you see people on the CT Fast Track buses going between Hartford and New Britain?
I absolutely do. You can come hang out with me in downtown New Britain any day and watch the hundreds of people that are getting on and off those buses. Our hub, our downtown hub, is very busy all day long. There are definitely a lot of people in New Britain that utilize it. It's also used as a connector for CT Transit buses are different than CT Fast Track buses. CT Transit are kind of your local routes on all of our side streets. It's a huge connector for CT Transit as well.
Well, again, it's interesting. All the time that you put in to get New Britain, really, I mean, it's amazing. New Britain is a city now that people just absolutely love. It always had a great history, but you really brought it back.
Thank you. One thing at a time, one project at a time, and the renovation of the Rayfield building is just another example of the more great things that are going to keep coming our way. So the ribbon cutting is August 31st, 31st at 5 p.m. Tenants are going to start moving in as soon as September 1st. So if you're interested in coming out and taking a peek, join us on the 31st.
And joining us once again on our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is the mayor of New Britain, Aaron Stewart, on Brad and Dan. And Mayor, recently, as we know, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, the fire chief in your city was suspended. He's on leave with pay while there are investigations into the perception of some racism or discriminatory action. And one of the things I'm hearing from people is, how can you take a step like this on the basis of perception? So maybe you can address that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of our fire department in the last couple of years, and it all came to a head when I heard from a firefighter that there were many issues with the way that he was being treated in the department. I didn't know, because none of these things were ever brought out. No reports were ever filed with our Human Rights and Opportunities Office. Many questions arose. I realized very quickly that these allegations seem to be taken very seriously, and that a private or independent investigation or independent review of what happened here was needed to be had. If you had the opportunity to read the report, the investigation lasted almost 4 months, and there's a reason why it lasted 4 months. There was a lot of information that was gathered, a lot of things that were said, and to compartmentalize that into a review, into a report, certainly took some time. Upon reading that, I realized that there were many additional problems with the management of the fire department. This goes past the issue of race. We're looking at what I'm doing now is conducting my own independent investigation, myself and just me, no one else, interviewing members of the fire department to try to determine where the breakdown in communication is. The perceived racism, as the report says, is a direct result of a lack of management in certain areas, stemming directly from the chief's office down. And that's where I need to step in and make change.
So you're the one who's conducting the investigation.
You're doing it yourself.
This second one, the first one I did not. The first one I hired an outside attorney in conjunction with our human resources officer. This second one is just me and me alone.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. How long do you think that'll take?
Well, let's put it this way. I spent the last 3 days at our fire headquarters, and I spent over 6.5-7 hours interviewing. So I will interview as many people as possible until I get to the bottom and the root cause of the problem. I think I have a good idea of what needs to happen, but I just need to make sure that I have all the evidence that is necessary in order to move forward with change the department. And, you know, our fire department deserves better. They are not racist. They do not deserve to be labeled as such. We have an amazing group of men and women that protect our city on a daily basis. They go above and beyond the call of duty. And I want to make sure that they're protected as well. And those that come forward are protected and aren't fearful of retaliation for their position.
And you know, Mayor Stewart, when you stop to think about it, okay, if you read about investigations, it is very seldom. I mean, you had a complete legal investigation, but that you wanted to take it on yourself to make sure of all of this before anything is decided.
Absolutely. And I think that it's most important that, you know, this is my job as the mayor. I'm the boss. I'm the one that has to make that final decision. I need to hear for myself directly from our employees, our deputy chiefs, our lieutenants, our captains, our privates. I have to hear directly from them what is going on. Otherwise, I can't trust that we're making the best decision. But it's alarming, the things that you read. And in that initial independent review, some of the things that came out of that were very damning to the management or lack thereof in certain areas of our department. And so I need to make sure that I take necessary steps in the proper manner to make change.
Now, I'm sure you know the Connecticut House Democrats released their budget yesterday, and it includes the education cost sharing grant. And New Britain actually gets a little bit more under the grant than it did in 2017, but it also includes a lot of tax hikes at the state level. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't even know what to think anymore, Brad and Dan. Every day something different is coming out. Last week the governor came out with his, and New Britain was held harmless on ECS. But we received, underneath the governor's plan, a $12 million reduction to municipal aid. Now, yesterday, the Democratic plan comes out, and we receive a little bit more under ECS, but we're still losing in municipal aid, but not by much. But the taxes being raised on the backside of that is just, how do you know what is what? What is actually going to come forward? There's no consensus for either one of those budget plans. We know that those both don't exist. So what is actually going to come forth the week of September 11th is a big question mark. It's a big unknown. And I think it becomes increasingly frustrating for municipal leaders like myself to not know, because now I've got a $12 million question mark hanging over my head, and I have to figure out how to make up for that. Wow. But on the other hand, I'm seeing different numbers every other week. I can't accurately budget if I don't know. The state, again, and I said it again and again, they need to get it together, because our cities, our towns, our mayors, our people are going to inevitably suffer because they can't make a decision.
What is this talk I hear? We hear that you have not ruled out a run for governor in 2018. What can you say about that?
I've heard that from several people.
I haven't. You know, every day that this state situation gets worse and worse, you need a leader, and someone needs to step up and step forward. Who's doing that? Who are we seeing right now that's come forward and is offering to do that? No one. And every day it infuriates me more and more. And every day that we don't have a budget pushes me more towards wanting to go for it. No, I haven't ruled it out. I don't think that it's too late. I was on Connecticut Capitol Report last weekend when they asked me the question, and I said, no, I'm not ruling that out, but I know that I have a race to win this November in the city of New Britain. My commitment is here in the city. I need to make sure that I'm still taking care of everything here at home. There's too much at stake. After November is through, and hopefully I do get my job back as mayor, you know, we're going to reassess where the state situation is at and where I am, and see if we're going to do it or not.
Okay, so put your governor's hat on for a moment. You're in the governor's chair, and you've got a deal with the capital city of Hartford. Governor Malloy came out yesterday and told Reuters news agency he would approve bankruptcy for Hartford. Quote, "I would approve it if it's the best way to handle their difficulties." How would you handle it? You're the governor. You've got a capital city that's on the verge of bankruptcy.
When I took office as mayor in 2013, I walked into a city of New Britain that was on the verge of bankruptcy too. And I had many people in my ear telling me, you can just file for bankruptcy, just do it, it's the best way to get out. No, that's the easy way out. That's the easy way out. That's the cheap way out. There's no reason why you can't work hard, change structures, change the face of government in order to account for and make up for that deficit. There is no reason why you can't do that. It just takes work and someone who's willing to do it. I sat in a conference room for 3 months and went through our city budget line item by line item, cutting what I could, making substantial structural changes. Don't tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me you can't do it, because at the end of the day, when I cut $30 million and saved our city from the brink of bankruptcy, that doesn't mean that Hartford can't do the same thing.
All right.
You have to have the willpower to do it.
Wow. Okay, and we're going to end on that positive note.
Mayor, thank you. We're honored to have you on the program today.
Really?
Well, I think we heard from a leader today, Brad.
Today we did. Yes, you're taking the hill. You're taking the hill.
Mayor, thanks a lot, and good luck with the opening of those apartments next week in downtown New Britain.
Thank you, guys. Take care.